All right, this is the Marysville Board of Education special meeting of Monday, September 17th, 2012. Can I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Mabee.
Here.
Mrs. Greer.
Here.
Mrs. Devine.
Here.
Mr. Lassiter.
Here.
Mrs. Powers.
Here.
Okay. Next up, I guess we're just going to roll into our discussion of
permanent appropriations first.
Well, it's not on my agenda, but I figured it was part of this discussion. Okay. So this discussion is part of potential cost reductions and potential reductions and cost-saving measures. But we're going to start out that discussion by going over our permanent appropriations for next year. I'll let Cindy handle that one.
It's going to be a real quick discussion, so we can talk about the rest of it.
Depending on your questions.
Yeah, if anybody's got any questions, I've talked with most everybody on this, and we've gone through them and all. A couple things that we just need to look at is our revenues are up just a hair from what we were at the budget for the temporaries, not a whole lot. We had extra in there for fees and Medicare reimbursements. We also had extra fees in there for three additional all-day, every-day kindergarten classrooms. So that's where those are increased a little bit.
Now we'll show if you have increase in your all-day, every-day, you'll show a reduction in your salary. Or no, you won't. It's still, it pays for that, but it's...
Yes, it pays for that, but you
still
increase
pay it,
it,
no, you
for,
still pay
by
it.
Your revenue, yeah, and then we'll take it out by the expenditures.
It's been a long day.
So as far as... there's a couple things. In the federal grant area, our Title 6B, which is the special education grant from the federal... We're about $200,000 less than what we were last year. The other part that we have to keep an eye on is there could still be another 7% decrease from the feds if they don't get everything passed by the end of December. So we'll have to look at that.
Are they reducing their requirements also?
I don't think so.
just thought I'd ask.
Somehow they don't go hand in hand.
Decrease would be what to us?
7%. It just depends on each one.
Okay.
And I haven't looked at that, Doug, to... Just know that we're gonna eat it no matter what happens. So we'll have to look at it, and I'd say we're probably between $50,000 to $100,000 decrease is just a rough ballpark estimate. Those are the areas. If they don't get everything in place, that's one area that we're gonna really hurt because we've got the special ed, and you've also got the Title I. programs and the class size reduction at Northwood. The other areas that were in the permanent appropriations, a little difference in salaries were down just because of the salaries taking out the substitutes and also replacing the staff that retired with the staff that's not paid as much, so we're down there. Our benefits are up a little bit just because of the retirement incentive. Medical's up a little bit. We did get some good news last week. It looks like we're only going to see maybe a 7% increase in our premiums for medical. Dental's not as good, but we'll see what happens there. But definitely medical, and that's the big one. So that's, you know, I figured it at 8% halfway through the year with what we're spending right now. So that'll help even what's going forward. So we'll get there. Supplies are down from last year. And then our purchase services are up just because of the tuition, community school, open enrollment. And then our substitute services, we're paying that as a purchase service through the Educational Service Center. So those are the areas. So if anybody's got any other questions, I'll be glad.
The net expenditure increase, look from the temporaries, look like it was like 1.4 million.
It's about 1.4, but you know, when it in the temporaries it is, but when I looked at what we ended up with in the forecast, because I didn't put it in the temporaries, I missed it when I was working on the temporaries.
I see, okay.
But they were within the forecast and what I've looked at so far in the forecast, so we'll be okay this year. And
how much of, I mean, I guess, absent a forecast. From the May forecast, how much is that? Would that be impacted expenditure-wise?
Actually, from May forecast, from what I've got in there right now, there's not a whole lot of difference.
Okay.
And we can talk about that, okay, you know, a little bit later.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I was wondering why I felt like I was panicking when I saw that.
No, don't panic.
How come
because,
I'm the only one?
Yeah, the temporaries, I think we had a few things in there, a little bit extra than what we probably needed because I just, you know, we hadn't done the whole thing. Diane and I hadn't had a chance to really talk about anything, so I think we'll be okay.
Okay. Well, that's great.
So yeah.
Is there any other questions on the appropriations?
I guess just in general, when would we kind of get to see what that impact is in the forecast, since that's kind of our, at least for me, it's always been a frame of reference.
We're going to look at it tonight.
Okay.
Not on the screen, though, but I'll explain that.
That's all right.
I'll explain that. It's been a crazy day. Mm-hmm. We haven't had a chance to really talk.
It's been an interesting day.
Yeah, it has been.
Was there any other questions? I just want to make sure everybody's got there. Okay.
Do you want to start on my part? Before I get started, can I just say something about today? Obviously, we had an event happen. I'm a little off the agenda, but I want to just say one thing. As you know, we've moved into this location and made a lot of things happen in a short amount of time. And I just want to reiterate the reaffirmation maybe for me of what a special place this is, because today happened with people, and everyone was willing to chip in and do whatever it took. It didn't matter what we asked, and really we were able to pull off a pretty successful day. It was a different day, and we worked on different things, but it just goes back to the incredible commitment and people we have working in this district. And I think it's important that you hear that from me, that it was outstanding. Mike and the maintenance crew and custodians came from other buildings to clean this building so we could move in, and secretaries were back. It was just amazing. So everything went just the way it should in a bad situation.
Very good.
So just want to make sure I tell you that.
That's good to know you have that if something, you know, if something happens.
Really, everyone was like, Diane, you're so together. Well, to be honest, I really wasn't worried. Everyone was doing the right thing, and things were headed the right direction. So
it very went, good.
Went as well as it could, given the crazy situation. How's that? So I had forwarded to all of you kind of a rough outline and ideas. We have gone through a process, including principals and other administrators in the district, about looking at our staffing and trying to make a recommendation list should the levy not be successful in November to make a reduction list. I think the one thing to remember that's imperative, and I can't say it enough, and I'm sure all of you can't say it enough, remember the important part about this levy is for us to pass in November so we can collect in January. Right? So if we don't pass in November and we have to go back in the spring, we will still have to make reductions because we won't collect that money until January 2014. Right. So we still have to be in a better position than we are now. So I think it's important to remember that headed into this conversation. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay, so to that end, this is kind of a collective piece. I've met with some of you individually and talked through some of the ideas. As you can see from the administrative central office side, the recommendation would be to reduce one administrator, one secretary, and then do a reduction in administrative.
Like, what does that mean, the administrative contract? Is for all administrators or just like... Principal, I mean, who are we talking about when we sit?
Well, we would look at everyone first, but one of the areas we are going to look at is our school psychologists. Our school psychologists are currently on administrative contracts. That's what that figure is based
on. Okay, I got you.
Administratively, are there any questions that you would have for me?
No.
Mm-mm. Okay. Classified, again, 13 FTEs, including office aides, support services, secretaries, custodians, nurses, district-wide. So that would include, you know, looking at the transportation department as well as building level positions as well. All right, and then with certified, it would be 20 FTE. Mostly those positions would include high school and middle school elective teaching positions. Some guidance positions, K-12, and looking at maybe shifting some responsibilities. Looking at a unified arts, K-8, and making sure that we're using all of them efficiently and maybe changing how that unified arts structure looks. Instead of every grade getting it once a week, are there variations to that that we could look at? And reduction possibly in K-4 classroom teachers, and as well looking at revising and looking at supplemental contracts that may not be renewed, such as department heads or things of that nature that could be reduced.
So when you're looking at these elected teaching positions, how are you going to go about and figure out which one of those that we are no longer going to offer?
Great question. Can I move to the back and that'll help
sure.
you too?
Mm-hmm.
So on the back page, I've also outlined for you areas that we're going to continue to focus on. We know that even asking for $4 million, that we're going to be in deficit spending after a year. So we still have revisions to do on our side and look for efficiencies. So we listed different areas, including athletics. We are looking at doing an audit of our special education services through the ESC. Basically all...
What does that mean? An audit of our special education
services. So looking at our offering of special education K-12 and saying, okay, a third party would come in mm-hmm. and do an overall assessment. They would interview teachers, administrators, look at the needs of our students and make sure we're getting the best bang for our buck and the best service for our buck. And there are efficiency with using those things. So some things that could come out of an audit might be maybe we need to do different units differently. Maybe we need to house units in different buildings and then push your resources to that building.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of having a 0.2 over here, a 0.5 over here, you see, so it would be about maximizing that.
Does that get down as deep as looking at IEPs?
It can, yes.
I'm just curious how deep that audit goes.
Yeah.
I mean, you actually go through and say, look, you know, this. You
Not
know.
Every kid on an IEP, but they would look at ranges of services within those IEPs.
Okay.
And the idea, right, is to just be more efficient. At least at this first pass of this would be to come up with efficiencies, not necessarily reductions in services.
Right.
Correct. But to look for things that maybe we have some redundancy in some areas, or maybe we can, an outside eye can say, hey, have you looked at this different kind of programming at high school, or have you looked at different options than what we're offering now?
Now, I know when the state came in and did our performance audit, they had some benchmark districts that they kind of measured us against. Is that same kind of thing? So if they come in and say, look, you know, you can do X, Y, and Z. You know, we saw you can do X, Y, and Z, and here's somewhere you can go to see how they do it. Do they offer that as well, or is it a... I mean, are they basing it on some other kind of benchmark, or is it just kind of a...
More of a lean exercise?
Well, it's,
yeah,
it's
I mean,
basically around best practice and best practice strategies, and typically they can send you to areas that practice those strategies. More of what I've seen in special ed, that doesn't mean people don't do it different ways, different places,
right,
has been looking at your instructional modules and services for kids, and then seeing if you're implementing best practice in that area. So inclusionary models or different things of that nature.
Gotcha. Okay, cool.
Okay, again, looking at all our supplementals, and extended days, I guess, to me, kind of coexist in there. So we're paying different supplemental contracts, extended days onto the school year. So really taking a look at those and seeing if there is some leeway to make reductions there. The other thing that we are working on is kind of a building efficiency. So looking at all of our buildings, enrollment, staffing patterns, and making sure we're maximizing all of our facilities. I know there have been questions asked about specific buildings. I don't think we're much interested in pursuing one building, but looking at all of our buildings at this point. And not efficiency necessarily energy efficient, but are we, you know, our staffing, and are we getting the most out of our staff? Possibility of looking at redistricting elementary schools and making sure there have been some questions that have come up in the conversation about how different areas are bused to different locations. So making sure that we're doing that the most efficient way possible.
Yeah, I think we've closed the school since the last time we redistricted, and we probably ought to catch up on that.
Right.
I'm sure
that came up in the conversation with principals.
Yeah.
Also, one of the things or exercises I'd like to work with you that kind of answers your question, Jeff, is doing an audit of a per class expenditure. So looking at the enrollment of students, the cost of the teacher, the cost of actually putting on the course. I will tell you, with our conversion to PowerSchool, we've had some ups and downs in pulling that data, but we're better today than we were a couple of days ago. So we will keep working on that, but that is something that I will forward to you guys to give you a sense of, you know, what does it cost to put on English 11 as opposed to, you know, AP 11 or whatever those options are. So I'd imagine that conversation would spark looking at what elective classes we may be interested in reducing. And then doing a kind of an audit of the high school schedule. Matt and the high school teachers for the past couple years have been talking about going to a, instead of having a 9-period day, going to maybe a 7 or 8-period day. One of the issues at the high school, to be honest with you, is our buses drop off at about 6:45, but teachers don't come on duty until 7:10, 7. So we know we have some issues with that. We know we have some issues with science operating standards and meeting the minimum requirements for lab courses. And so we're trying to work through some of those issues. And really, as a district, we're looking at a different start-stop schedule for students and playing around with that. Right now, we're working on a survey to go out to parents to get feedback from them on that information and their interests in what time school starts.
So you'd want a later start for the high school? Is that what you're
There is an interest in
at?
A later start of the high school.
Good.
But
sure, high school,
yeah. Well, no, I mean, I just think that that makes so much sense.
I'm curious, yeah. Dublin did it like last year or 2 years ago?
Did they make like the big change to more to like 9 o'clock for high school and 7:30 for elementary, or did they just make it a little bit later?
Well, I think they went, I don't know. I mean, I would hate to tell you, but I'd be curious kind of what their findings were.
We had lots of conversation in that, you know, elementary students are in our before school program already, so we have them there in that program, and should we, you know, be teaching them then, and, you know, so, but really as a part of that conversation, I think that actually must have started last year. We've continued it on this year. We're at the point where we'd like to get some information from parents. So Matt, Crispin, and Andy are working on a survey to go out to parents.
And there's definitely some efficiencies to be had if we compress our schedule down to 7 periods.
There is. I think that the one thing we've had a lot of conversation about is you look at the junior and senior year, in particular at our high school, we have a significant amount of kids on early release or enrolled in multiple study halls in the day. So the idea would be to increase the instructional period, so go from a 45-minute period to maybe a 50-minute period. But your instructional periods would be reduced.
Right.
Is that clear?
Right.
So you'd go from maybe 9 to 8 or 9 to 7 or some variation of that.
So that would obviously would have to lessen the number of classes offered, correct?
Yes.
But it would channel them a little bit. I guess you'd have to do a little bit more clear thinking as a freshman when you started to schedule your classes out. You'd have to have a little bit more forethought, you know, because when you get down to your senior year, you don't have that, you know, that wiggle room.
Right.
And I don't want to say wiggle room because, I mean, I know my daughter was only there for, I think, 2 periods out of the day her senior year.
Right.
And it seems, you know, if I didn't make her take a math class, she'd have started college without math for over a year. And that's, you know,
What's interesting, we pack up that freshman day, which we know is the most difficult year of your high school transition. Mm-hmm. And then we have the end of their high school time sometimes be engaged in 2-3 classes. That's not every student. Right. By any means, but it's a significant number of, or something they try to achieve.
Well, I think if you take a, if you go in your first 2, even 3 years and take a regular schedule, you will end up in your senior year with half a day anyways, right, that you're not using. I mean, just by default.
Well, not necessarily. You don't have to use it, but you can choose to.
Correct.
I'm right. just saying.
Which is what mine is doing.
Right. So you could choose to use it, but I'm saying, but by, you know, right. you know, you could very well have that half day.
Right.
That if you wanted to fill the classes
or
whatever, right? But I'm saying just it's built into our, it's currently built into our system that if you just have a full schedule, you know, you're only going to go half the time your senior year. Which I mean, I don't know. I'm not really sure that's the best use of your time or not.
Right.
Not everybody is as you know as studious as your daughter.
But the other thing would be to continue to offer those opportunities for credit flex for kids who wanted to take advantage of different opportunities, you know, PSEO and some different ways that we could encourage students to remain involved in school should they want to choose more than a 7-period day or 8-period day, there would still be that option for those students.
All right, good. Can you go back?
So I think that kind of answered your high school.
Yeah. Can you go back and tell me what that audit of athletics is? I'm sorry.
Perfect.
I guess I didn't catch that.
No, you're fine. One, I'm meeting with Mr. Crispin and Mr. Blind actually tomorrow, and one of the things we're going to sit down and talk about is a plan for athletics and trying to look at the athletic window of opportunity to. This is funny having a conversation before I'm having it with them, right? So hopefully
well, if they listen. If they're smart, if they'll listen, they'll know what's coming.
but they're both aware. But a plan to try to have athletics be self-sufficient in the budget. So I'm going to be honest with you, that's not going to happen in a year, in my view. But to sit down and look at some strategies we can put in place and maybe have a 5-year plan that we could come back and say, okay, these are the steps we're going to take to help maybe alleviate that piece a little bit more from the school budget.
And that doesn't include jacking up our pay-to-play to $1,000 per student, right?
That does not include. You'll see on there that does not include.
I just wanted to be clear that, you know, right. we can be self-sufficient if everybody paid, you know,
no, we've had a few community members speak up about different things that are happening in other communities. So the charge will be for them to go out and investigate that and see what they think fits Marysville. We have a very supportive community here, so I would be shocked that we couldn't come up with some significant. Maybe we can't get to full self-sufficient, but I bet we could at least cut in half what we're doing now with some, you know, well-planned strategic moves.
Springboro has gone through that process just recently, and that's what they're trying to achieve. And they even came up with an interesting thing to help kids with their pay to participate in finding jobs they can do, like painting or yard work kind of stuff, to work toward their pay-to-play fee. Like at $10 an hour,
right.
So that they kind of have some skin in the game to making their school district look nice, and you know they were trying to find jobs they could do. So
we did that in my former district through a local church. So there would be a posting, and if a student, you know, was struggling with their pay to play, there was a listing of opportunities for them to help go and make the money. Then it was their responsibility to turn that over for the payment.
Sounds like an interesting partnership opportunity for some of our businesses.
Right. I know. I mean, we always get several calls during the year, people calling the Union County Foundation saying, do you have any help for pay to participate? And what can we do? You know, I want my kid to be in this sport or whatever, and we just don't have any funds. And so there's definitely an opportunity out there to.
I think so. Well, I'll be interested to see
going.
That one here.
I think the most important thing is that we're committed to do these things one way or the other. I think coming in with a different set of eyes, looking at things that in my short time being here, that we have the opportunity to maybe take a little different slant at some of these things and see if there are some opportunities to do things differently. And we may not. We may find that we're totally efficient, but I think it's important to commit to looking at all our options.
Absolutely.
Are there any questions for me? The reduction on the front would be about a $2 million reduction. And remember, the teacher salary or the salaries in general are based on averages. So you have swings in how much people make and those type of things. But we did those based on averages.
Okay.
What's the impact of this, do you think, on our effectiveness as a district?
Well, it's certainly, schools will be significantly different. I can't sit here and tell you I think they would be exactly the same. And I just think that's where we are as a district, that cuts that have been made over time or through attrition or people who haven't been replaced, I think schools will look differently, significantly differently to parents and students with this set of cuts.
Like class size? You think that would be the biggest impact?
I think class sizes would be bigger in K-4 if we have to reduce in that area. Your elective offerings are going to be slimmer. Even your content offerings, I would suspect, and I have not done it in depth, but if you think about your four core areas and the extras, those would be impacted beyond what a kid needs to graduate. They wouldn't be totally eliminated, but it certainly would be a slimmer set of offerings than we currently have.
All right. Do you want us to approve this? Not today, on Thursday?
Right, that would be my request, to take some time, think about it. I know all of you have, since I sent it out the first time.
Okay.
If you have questions between now and then, as always, call me. I'm happy to...
I guess, for me, if we're approving this, we're approving it as what? As a... these are a list of options that the board might support, or is this, these are the cuts that would go in place if the levy fails? Because if it's, you know what I mean?
Well, I would think that would be the list of things to work from.
Okay.
I guess to put it the best possible. I mean, you may not implement all of them, but that certainly those are the areas it sounds like that the district has targeted and said, look, these are where, if we have to make reductions, these are the areas that they're going to do. I think those numbers are probably good, if I understand that, kind of good benchmark numbers, but based on,
The reason I asked that is because right now we don't really have a good feel for what that gap would be if it did fail without having. I mean, I'm sure when the forecast is settled in, we'll have that idea. But it'd be hard to approve something right now.
Now I will tell you that when we look at the forecast, and I think when I talked to you on the phone, we are going to be a little bit higher. But again, we're on averages, so that's the place we kind of wanted to land. We felt it was better to end a little higher than too short and not have projected enough reduction savings. And it would all depend on the positions that we're looking at. It's kind of the difficult.
Yeah, that's my understanding. It's just kind of a benchmark list to work from. It's not like, November's whatever, if it fails, all of a sudden these are,
They pull the trigger.
That's right.
Yeah,
I mean, I imagine that there's still a study. Obviously, that study that we're going to do regardless would feed, these reductions. Is that what I understand?
Well, they would impact them because, based on what you find out in your studies, you might reduce some of that.
And I would like to think that we're going to probably pull in like our standards committee or something like that at some point to kind of talk about those, those electives, the importance of those, kind of like we did the last time.
I was careful on that front page to put when final decisions are made, all staffing areas will be included. But this would be a framework to really give you the idea of what, you kept talking about impact. I think this really tells you, if you can imagine 20 less teachers in our district, 10 less support staff in our district, how different that would look. Because sometimes it's hard to equate $2 million of cuts to what that looks like.
Right.
When are you expecting the audits to start, or have they already started?
Well, we've played around in a couple. we're working on the per class expenditure currently. We are looking on the working on the building efficiency. I'm sorry if I'm talking crazy. I feel like I've been talking all day. Building efficiency, that has been, we have started that. Athletics, like I told you, I'm going to meet with Jeff and Joe tomorrow, or Matt and Joe.
I got a meeting again.
Special education is one that we will be working with ESC. As you know, we get dollars through the ESC, and so we are going to work with them to look at how that audit might pan out, but that one has not started. So the high school schedule, that work is started a couple years ago, really, at the high school. Matt and his teachers and department heads have been talking about what that might look like and impact for, well, I guess a couple years. I know at least last year.
I mean, do you get the feeling that they lean that way pretty strongly?
My hunch as a former high school person, I'm sure elected teachers would not lean that way strongly.
Right.
But content area teachers are typically excited about getting more time in an instructional period. So I think that's the difficult tension. And just understanding the fact that, you know, it will have a definite effect on that schedule and offerings for students.
So are we going to modify the way we schedule? I mean, because before it was basically everybody sign up for what you want and we'll build our schedule around you. Mm-hmm. Is that same process going to happen this year?
The recommendation or the conversation Matt and I have had has been really that reduction of what you're going to offer needs to come prior to students choosing. So if you're in a position where you know, you have classes that are only filling to 4 or 5 kids, those would be things you tend to veer away from the next time you go out and only limiting it to those things that you can offer.
All right. Anybody else have any questions on that? Okay. Then we're... Yeah. Yep, then. Forecast.
Well, that fancy.
I don't know.
New bars, colors, shades of gray.
Shades of gray.
Wait a second, it's starting to sound like Jeff.
You know,
Jeff, you are red.
As I said to you in my Saturday morning notes and all, that I spent 2 days, well, a day and a half, with the programmers and the people doing that we've used for years doing the forecast, and they've went and they've made their forecast new and improved. And you know, sometimes when you get old, it's sort of hard to teach an old dog new tricks. So I'm learning too, and so that's why. And I don't know how exactly to print out of it. That's why it's this way. They've got print buttons, and I'm like, I don't like that way it prints. I want it printed differently. So I tried, but I couldn't get it. So this is where we're at. And I was going to show Diane today. We're going to do some modeling on staffing. It's unbelievable. We've got staffing in there. It's just an unbelievable program now. So they've made what went to good to even better and greater than what we've ever had before. So I working on it over the weekend and all. If you look down at line 12.010, we need $1.3 million if the levy does not pass, the new levy. And if the replace or the renewals do not pass, it's 4.6, and that's about where we were before. I mean, we've never really talked about what happens if the renewals don't, but we've got to take that in consideration too. So we're there. Some of the things, and we'll talk more on it on Thursday, revenue side, I have added and want to know your opinions on the casinos. I know that we're going to get a payment by January 31st of about $112,000. Do we keep adding that to it, or do we think about, well, are they going to just take that away from what we're getting for our foundation? So those are things that I want to talk to you about and show you what we've done in it. So going that way, but I was hoping to have more for you today, but it just didn't happen. We were busy watching files and making sure.
So back to Doug's question, which I thought was a good one. Compared to our May forecast, since I don't have it in front of me, what are
our May forecast compared to our expenditures are down compared to what they were in the May forecast, some of them, and our revenue is within a 1% of what our May forecast is for this year.
Up,
I think.
I'm sorry, say that again. You lost me.
Up or down is our May forecast. The number was it more, was it less? More or less? But I think it was, I think it's up a little more. Bit.
So we're saying expenses are down and revenue's up?
A little bit, yeah.
That's the right way.
That's the right way to go. I was trying for it. Yeah. And you know, we in the forecast, we did look at some of the things and all, so I think we'll be and I've taken out, you know, and in our appropriations we have to appropriate all our outstanding purchase orders in the forecast, we take them out, so okay, that makes a big difference in purchase services and so
I'm sorry, I haven't had it.
Do you?
Yeah, that's
where we at.
So we had for total revenues and other financing, 208, line 208.
Yeah.
It's for fiscal year 13, you forecasted, is that what we're looking at?
Yeah.
Fiscal, 45, 665,
592.
Mm-hmm.
So we're 200,000 up.
Yeah.
150,000.
2080. Yeah. Right there. Okay.
4581.
Yeah. Okay, so and then for
expenditures, where are
total
we?
Expenditures, I got 46,606,118.
Okay, we're at 47.
Which you're at 4.5?
Yeah. 4.5, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So we're at 47.1.
So expenditures went up by 500,000.
About half a million.
Half a million. And revenues went up by
200,000.
So we're net loss of about 300,000.
Right. Okay. So we're real close.
Right. That's pretty good. Because you're forecasting that you're considering how many different things change.
Yeah, there was a lot of changes there from May to June in the revenue and expenditures that we weren't expecting. So we're within that ballpark. But when we do go to the state, they're gonna and we send this off. They're gonna look at where we're at in our cash balances, a negative $4.4 million, and they're gonna say, "What's your plan?" And hopefully by the time they get it, we'll have passed the one levy and we'll be ready to put the next one on in May, because I think we really need to have it on as early as possible next year.
Does this one show the levy passing?
Yeah, if you look down at 12.01 or 15.01 is where the levy would be passed.
Right, okay, that's why I was looking, because I'm looking at these numbers from May and I'm like, that doesn't seem to add up.
Yeah.
Okay, I got you. Okay.
Yeah. So we're there. So yeah, the notes are a lot different. I can pass these around. You guys can look at them. Just look at how they're structured a lot different. But
oh, I see.
We have If you can just take them and look at them and pass them around. But they're structured a lot differently than what we had in the past. We've got graphs. We've got a little bit of everything.
It's so much easier to read. You can't. You have that little column off to the right. Take two.
How much did the
And I apologize, but we had no copier. Yeah, those are just different ones.
They're just different sheets.
Different sheets. They still have the same sheets. Okay. You know, they're different sheets as we go through, and also.
This is locked.
How much did the dental end up
magnifying glass?
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah.
And did the did the coverage change, or it's just an increase?
Our dental. For some reason, our dental, we have a huge usage of our dental. Huge. And it's just Our policy, this year? No, it's always been this way.
You think it's like, is this for employees or
employees?
Something like braces or something like that?
Yeah, everybody. I mean, and it's just one of those, it's just a huge, huge thing that they really just sort of, that's how they, it's just been really different and difficult to do and to see what's going on.
So is there any way you can get a reduction if the coverage is or the plan changes?
I think, absolutely. Absolutely. We've got a lot of things that we can do differently. And so, but
is that what that committee is going to look at again this year?
That committee is going to definitely look at. They've already started looking at it and saying, okay.
They're coming back.
So I will have all that for you on Thursday, and we'll go over it. And
so what are you going to put it on the board on Thursday?
I will have it on the board on Thursday, and so you can see it and all. But it was one of those things that Diane and I haven't had a chance to even talk about what I've done. I mean, what I've been working on all weekend when everything else happened today. So we had to get up. We had to get payroll up and running. It's a payroll week, so.
Better not stop those presses, I can tell you that.
We would have 600 people knocking on your doors, believe me. So, and on mine and probably everything else, call it. So we're working there. So.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're working that way. So, yeah. But it does look like we're, lower than the 2 million that we're projecting here. 1.3 if the levy doesn't fail, but... And then if the renewals don't, then we're going to need more. We're going to need that $4.4 million.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that 1.3 still has those assumptions in there.
Absolutely. It's still got those assumptions in there, Doug, that we set for the May forecast. So, you can see those. I'll go if you want to. I can go.
And we approve the forecast next month, right?
Yes, we approve it next month. I will show it to you on Thursday, and then you've got the month, and we'll work on it with the finance committee. Go over it with the finance committee at their October meeting.
Okay.
Cool. All right. Any questions on how that fits into the appropriations? And does that make sense?
What's that?
How the forecast? You'd asked how it fits in the appropriations, and
it's all in there.
So. I mean, you don't have to answer that now. I suppose you can answer it on Thursday. But. All right. Is there any questions on the forecast? All right.
Thanks.
Is there any other items of discussion for tonight? If not, it's going to be a pretty quick meeting.
I don't have anything.
Anybody else have anything they want to discuss while we're here? Having to do with finances or...
Oh, the Power School. I thought it must have only went out to parents.
Yeah,
are you doing it start tonight? Is that tonight?
Yeah, I think it starts tonight. You're back already?
Is that where you came from? I'm coming tomorrow.
So be there.
So if you wanted to go and see, it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday?
6 to 7:30.
At Bunsell.
Is it for parents? It's like the parent access, or is it everything?
It's a, I want to say, kind of like a how-to on how to get started and what it looks like and what everything is that's in it. I think that there was a little bit of a confusion with the letter that went out because there was a parent access ID and password and then a student access ID and password. And what I found tonight was some of the parents were trying to use the student ID. That's strictly just for the student to use for them to be able to log in and access that information. The parent access ID is what links the parent account to the student. So if they have multiple kids in the household, they got multiple letters because that ID is different per kid.
Mm-hmm. But they don't have to have multiple accounts. Like I can log in
with
both of my
and
children
see,
at the same time.
Okay. You one account, you can see everything, and it's entirely up to you if you want to use one account for your entire household or if both parents want their own separate account, whatever the case is.
Cool.
More than willing.
Oh, we'll forward you update on Thursday.
This replaces Aries, correct?
Yes.
You're absolutely correct.
Okay.
You're absolutely correct.
Okay. Right.
So,
have you?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I just got my
letter. I hear it's a real whiz bang now.
Okay.
So you want to see the
Power School?
The
it's a real whiz bang. It's good.
It's awesome. It's been the story of my life.
That's keeps you busy, right, Dave?
A little bit.
Good. Good.
Today was fun.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, if there was no other items of discussion then I move that we adjourn.
Second.
Move to the second roll call, please.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Okay, we are adjourned.